loving and gracious God in whom we live and move and have our being. We give you thanks for calling us here on this Wednesday of Holy Week to hear your word and to come to your table, and then to be sent out into a very broken world with a message of hope. Amen. I have to confess that the older I get, the more I love Judas Iscariot. Stone me, I'm a heretic. I know, as a child, I hated Judas Iscariot. We weren't allowed to use the word hate in my family. My mother would say, you just don't understand the person, or go and listen more carefully, but I hated Judas Iscariot because he was a bad guy. He did in the good guy, alone, all by himself. With my limited childhood understanding, I didn't understand any of the overlayers of political establishments, be they the Jewish establishment or the Roman authorities, or. I just knew that that bad guy, Judas, kissed Jesus and the Roman authorities, then knew who Jesus was, seemingly, and the rest, as they say, is history. But the older I get, and hopefully wiser, although that's up for grabs, I really identify with Judas Iscariot. Judas is heartbroken. Judas, it isn't going the way Judas thought it was going to go once he started following this Jesus guy. Imagine what Judas has seen over the 3 years following Jesus. How many meals they've had together, how many times he's seen Jesus do healing miracles and raising people from the dead and providing food for 5,000. And think what he's learned about love and helping the underdogs and being generous and giving to the poor and so on. And then here he is now sitting at this table with Jesus saying things that Judas doesn't understand and doesn't get. It's not going according to his plan. And that has to be exactly who you and I are, especially in the middle of Holy Week. I always say, try and stay in the day. Try not to skip ahead to tomorrow. Or don't just show up on Palm Sunday and Easter because you've just missed the heart of the story. But so for us today to be Judas Iscariot, the person who doesn't get it but loves Jesus and just doesn't know what to do with himself about how it's going, and of course then he commits this terrible atrocity that leads to others, and seemingly, depending which gospel you read, it seems Jesus is in on all of this. He says, whoever I give this hunk of bread to through the oil, that's the person who's going to do it. And we hear that it's night and Judas sneaks out and the rest happens. I always think of Judas when we sing, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We know that that's the repentant criminal that's nailed up beside Jesus, but I think it's all of us, obviously, and I always really think of Judas, that Judas, bad things that he did, and remember that Judas went out and hanged himself. How lonely a death is that? Judas went out and hanged himself after trying to give back the 30 pieces of silver that the authorities didn't want because it was sort of blood money. They ended up buying a potter's field to bury foreigners with it. So I always think of Judas when we sing, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So who is Judas? I remember once a friend of mine named their first kid Jude. And I said, ooh, I didn't say this to her. That may be hard times for that kid. I think it was when Hey Jude was in. Remember, some of us can remember the Beatles, a couple of us out there. I thought, ooh, that kid's gonna have real trouble. I have no idea what happened to that Jude. I'm sure he's just fine. But Judas has gone down in history as a really bad person, a betrayer, the worst of the worst. For 30 pieces of silver, he sells out his best friend. And why he does that, I'm trying to put words into his mouth or thoughts into his mind. Because the only time we really see Judas, first of all, we know he's the keeper of the purse. So he has to have some smarts, I'm thinking, some mathematical skills or some, I don't know, skills at shopping or whatever. But he's trusted by the group because he's in charge of the money. The only time we ever hear Judas speak is the story we had the other night where Mary, in her heartbrokenness and love for Jesus, pours 300 denarii worth of nard, very expensive perfume, all over Jesus' feet. And this is when we hear Judas say, "What are you doing? We could have used that for lots of other things. We could have fed the poor. That's a whole year's salary for some working guy. What are you doing?" So I interpret that to mean that he has a social conscience. He has learned from Jesus that we're supposed to be sharing this. But what I love what's in John's gospel in quotation, in sort of parentheses, is he said that, but he only said it because he was a thief and he knew what was going to happen. I'm not having all those back-talking people. I'm just going right with what I know Judas, seemingly to be. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I know I've done really bad things. I'm really sorry. I tried to give the money back," and so on. And he goes out and he kills himself. 10 years ago, I was lucky enough to spend 3 weeks in Jerusalem on a course called The Palestine of Jesus at St. George's College in East Jerusalem with some of my, I call them my Boston boys, politically incorrect on so many levels, the members of the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Boston. And the course is beautifully laid out so that for 3 weeks you're just immersed in the story. They always say that Jerusalem is the fifth gospel. It's sort of like, I've read the book and now I want to see the movie. And you are in the movie. The minute you step off the plane in Tel Aviv, you're in the movie. And on and on and on it went, day after day after day, exhausting because you're so on and taking in so much. And every single person on our trip had a different breakdown moment when it all fell apart at the seams for them or it all came together for them. I remember having an early morning sunrise Eucharist at the Sea of Galilee, watching the present-day fishermen casting their nets. That did me in. Everybody had a different place that had happened, where the Beatitudes were said, let alone Calvary and all the so on. But I remember one day when we'd done the big walk down and we were sort of reenacting the whole last 3 days. We didn't have a donkey. But we were sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane meaning olive press. These are 800-year-old olive trees. Huge, and it's much smaller, the garden, than it used to be. And I remember just sitting there, away from the group, falling apart at the seams, and thinking, what? And I heard somebody else say, look, I think that's the tree where Judas hung himself. I have no idea where Judas hanged himself, but this person was pretty sure that was the place. And the thought of him being back in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he had betrayed Jesus and the Romans come and take him away, possible. But it really made me think again about Judas and the loneliness of what he has done. And again, it reminds me of exactly who you and I are. If you ever do anything bad, I don't think any of us have probably done Judas's level. Well, who knows, some other way. But it's a pretty lonely place to be in. And if you even tell it to one other person, especially if that person can kind of listen in and be part of your journey, it's a whole different world for you. But when we sit with every little wrongdoing that we've ever done and take it on as personally as Judas does, it's a lonely spot and it can lead to solitary hangings. So on that cheery note, I welcome you to this Wednesday of Holy Week to stay in the moment with all of us who are just like Judas, trying to struggle to hear the good news that Jesus is about, even when it looks like terrible news at the current moment. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.